Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we are telling tales, threads, stories,
yarns
about succubus is succubi.
Succubi. I've been saying I wrote succubi a lot.
That makes sense. We're gonna say succubi and banshees, which is definitely plural with an S.
That's definitely. It's not banshee.
No, it isn't. But it can be if you want to have some fun.
Let me go edit my story real quick.
But before we get into those, Josh, tell me what you did this week.
I watched Willow this week again.
Did it hold up again?
I mean, I love Willow. Like, it's a childhood movie of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what doesn't hold up, and this is kind of off topic, but I also watched The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
I love that movie, but that movie is bad.
Is that the one where the kid plays an arcade and gets abducted?
Yeah, it's like Tron, but with aliens.
Yo, Death Blossom is really fucking rad.
Death Blossom is rad.
That was a point in going to the movies where if you saw that effect, that like kind of made the movie. Like, oh man, that was so cool.
Yeah, that's the whole point of that movie is like, look at this computer generation we can do, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's totally fine with me. But like, there are parts in that movie where you're like, man, this is really getting off the rails.
yeah, for sure. I think that's why Ghostbusters was such a success at the time, because it's a perfect mixture of like a good movie, very funny comedy, mm-hmm. but the effects in that film for the time were really, really rad. And going to see that film was really neat because you saw things that weren't done in other films.
Did you ever see the behind the scenes like book that they have?
No.
It's really interesting. They show how they did like some of the ghosts, like the library ghosts and the like.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of that stuff, I still don't know how it's done or how it's made up. And that's kind of the beauty of that film is that those effects still hold up.
Yeah. No,
like some of it's stop motion, but yeah,
that's like a perfect movie. Like there's nothing wrong
with that
movie.
I think so. Yeah. That's a pretty perfect film.
I think when I was in fifth grade, I like totally ripped off The Last Starfighter. Like we had to sit down and write a story at writing time.
And you stood up and threw pencils at everyone?
I stood up and threw pencils at everyone, and I screamed, Death Blossom, and then I had to go home. They sent me home.
You spun in a circle and threw pencils.
I closed my eyes and just threw pencils at people. What did you do this week?
Oh, wait, did you have a creative writing project, and what did you do?
Oh, I just ripped off The Last Starfighter. Like, I just totally wrote it down. Like it was mine. Like, that was my story that I wrote.
Sweet.
I was committing copyright infringement when I was 11 years old.
For an A.
Yes.
Hey, you did it. You made that grade. I'll tell you what I did this week. I watched WrestleMania 15 with The Rock versus Austin as main event. And it's a real good WrestleMania.
Was that 97?
99. It's in Philly. And Pete Rose is in the San Diego Chicken costume for some reason.
Wait, the baseball player?
Yes, Pete Rose himself, the ex-Philadelphia Philly.
Yeah.
And he gets tombstoned by Kane.
I vaguely remember this. I was out of wrestling at this point, but I remember.
Yeah, this was the last big feud I remember watching, because The Rock Austin was like a huge feud.
Yeah, Rock was bad at this point, right? He was.
Yeah, Rock was a heel.
Yes.
Yeah. I also discovered a new band this week, thanks to my buddy Aubrey.
Hell yeah.
He introduced me to American Sharks, and I've been going through a stint in my music where I just kind of have the same CDs and like stuff on my iPod that I've been going through, and it's a matter of like picking out and settling with what is on there. So I listen to American Sharks, and it's they sound exactly how you think they're gonna sound. They're like kind of like they're heavier, but they're like party punk metal.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fun.
I'll check them out.
I ordered a grinder off of them because it has a goblin's face on it, and I was like, I fucking want that.
I was looking on Think Geek, and I thought of you because they were sold out of the Hobbit pipes.
Dude, I saw that,
and I was like, man, I really want one now. Like, I saw
me
it
too.
And I was like, man,
that it was sold out, it made me want it more. Yeah. Check out American Sharks if you want to listen to that. I'll put a link in the show notes. But Josh, what do you say we get into some fantasy, dip the old toe into the
pool
of succubi and banshees?
Sounds good to me. Let's do it. Are you ready, Dom?
I am ready.
All right, my story, which I just named right now 2 seconds ago, is called Banshee Affliction.
Like tap out stuff?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready for this one.
All right. All of Derinos would be hard-pressed to remember a more raucous celebration. Not in 1,000 years, in even the most popular mead halls, the most savory steakhouses, nor the most famous fuckfests had a party or night as butt-fuckingly crazy been seen. Yes, it was a night to remember, and it was Sid the Troll Rogue's bachelor party.
Damn, he's getting married? I can't believe that.
It's crazy, right?
I'm shocked.
What a character twist.
He's getting shacked up.
Yeah. Towns were advised to lock up their wives and comely maidens, lest Sid and his merry band of revelers charm the very virginity right from their crotch holes. Derinos was on motherfucking lockdown, and the A-1 Dukes of Derinos were on pussy patrol.
Oh boy.
There was one establishment that remained open in spite of the warnings of the local municipalities, which were sent out on parchments all over the land claiming, hear ye, lock up your mamas and your maidens because this party is coming through like a hurricane that'll make your mama say, boys, mama's going out and she ain't coming home till she flashes these titties so much that she has enough bead necklaces to put you through college. And you know your mama has some sweet chest yams that'll make your mama say, boys, mama has some sweet chest yams. You know she gonna show them damn things off. And girl, let me see your chest twerk.
It was your chest what?
Twerk. That's
oh,
a new
man.
Thing. I'm predicting it. That's going to be.
Well, that's a canon thing in Derinos.
Well, yeah. They're ahead of the times. It was a very long scroll.
I always like these scrolls that declare, hear ye, and then something about your mom. I feel like, oh, I gotta stop getting these insulting scrolls.
I feel like the scribe who's just, like, writing them down is just like, I'm tired of doing this, and just starts writing crazy shit. And that establishment was Banshees. The all succubus cabaret and strip club that catered to all kinds of crazy Derinosian clientele. It wasn't surprising to see orc mayors, goblin raiders, human pallies, a chair with a bow tie getting a nasty tug job in the corner, and those afflicted with the Gary Coleman transmogrification curse were on stage handcuffed to a chair with a bow tie on which a succubus with huge cans were all up in his face. Yep. This place was a 24/7 nasty pit of debauchery, the perfect place for Sid's last night of bachelordom. This place is perfect for your last night of bachelordom, Fred the Skull Peeler said, as he, Sid, Buffcat, and Flyman walked through the door, which was painted up like a succubus vagina with her legs spread eagle.
Some door.
It's a pretty cool door. This place makes me want to go to church and or commit suicide, Flyman said, as his wings sputtered to hold his body weight up slightly above the ground as he hovered. That's their motto, Fred replied. Then he pointed to a sign on the wall which said, Banshees, this place makes you want to go to church or commit suicide or your money back. As they walked into the main stage area, a familiar lilting tune could be heard. Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. Who understands those rap guys, anyway? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's, like, out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so black. As the beat dropped, like 69 succubus strippers booty dropped and twerked their way out on the main stage. Some of them had whips and chains, handcuffs, smack a little booty up in my belt, scream help. A two-headed goblin mutant in the DJ booth picked up the talking stone and began to speak. Gentlemen, on the main stage, please welcome Malice. As he did, a very comely succubus began to dance like a ratchet-ass hoe on stage. Her booty dropped so hard on the stage that the thunderclap could be heard throughout Theranos. Fred immediately bolted for the stage and sat down, putting down gold coins as Malice leaned over and stroked his beard with her forked tail. The goblin in the DJ booth was ready to make another announcement, as his other goblin head was just scratching away on the turntable like a madman.
He's just going crazy as Fred is, like, getting into it. He's like, I gotta do this so people get horny. This is how I help.
Yeah, that's his job. That's, like, his whole job.
Please welcome, adventurers, the lovely Skittles.
Out came a very pale succubus on a chariot pulled by two slaves in full leather gimp gear.
Oh, God.
She used two whips to whip crack the air, and they pulled her out to the stage. She did a double backflip off the back of the chariot and began dougieing so hard, one slave pulling the chariot burst into flames, collapsed on stage, and started doing the sickest breakdancing routine anyone had ever saw.
On fire?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
He wormed right out of the front door and exploded somewhere in the woods. His family would never know his true fate.
Nor would they want to.
Right. That's like in the military, they don't tell you like how you die, how your like kid died, you know?
Oh, man. It just got real dark. Oh, my God.
Oh. Sid, Buffcat, and Flyman sat at a small booth in the back of the establishment. A succubus waitress with just the nicest chest butt came up to the table. What do you boys like to drink? She said as she pet under Buffcat's chin. He loved it and purred.
Aww.
Mew, he said. 3 Darino sunrises coming right up, and she walked off. After a moment, she returned with 3 drinks that were glowing orange. Fred soon came up to the table and sat next to Sid in the empty spot of the booth. Well, I'm out of money, he said. He raised his coconut drink up for a toast. To Sid, the best friend a guy, a huge muscles cat, and a horribly deformed fly monster could ever have. They toasted. I hope your wedding goes without a hitch, he continued.
It's not really a wedding, Sid replied. It's more of a commitment ceremony to promise each other to bone on the reg.
Ain't that the truth?
It's kind of just like what a wedding is anyway.
Yeah.
Let's cut the crap. Buffcat raised his Daranosian sunrise in preparation to make a toast himself. Mew, 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 mew. Fred wiped a tear from his eye. Buffcat, that was beautiful, he said, as 2 succubi strippers walked by, pointing at Flyman's crotch and began giggling and covering their mouths like Japanese schoolgirls.
Damn, they gotta do that to Flyman.
Dude. King of Sadness.
Oh, poor guy.
I wish I were double dead, Flyman said. Just then, all the lights in the place turned to red strobe lights and the announcer boomed over the talking stone.
We'd like to welcome our special guest for the evening, Sid the Troll Rogue.
As he finished, an army of succubi fiercely walked over to Sid and cracked their whips. As they did, all kinds of crazy shit went down. The music turned dark, like church music, but with a killer bell solo to go with the sick double bass drum.
Damn.
A giant stuffed succubus dropped from the ceiling, landing in Buffcat's lap. It was full of wizard weed, and Buffcat was immediately incapacitated. He rolled around with it on the floor, rubbing his face on it and kicking it with his back legs.
Oh my God.
Fred tried to reach for his sword, but was knocked unconscious when a succubus hit him over the head with a magnum of champagne.
Damn!
Flatmate was getting over those two strippers laughing at his tiny penis, so he was useless as usual. The succubi cracked all their whips at once and tied up Sid. "What the shitty shit is this shitty shit?" he yelled. Just then, a familiar voice could be heard cackling in the back of the succubus stripper horde. The ranks of hot-as-fuck succubi broke, and there stood a very tall, very nude, hot-as-fuck succubus with, like, 34 double Ds.
Oh, man.
"Oh, Sid, some things never change," she said.
"Megan, you twatless piece of hoe crust," Sid yelled.
"Didn't you know," she continued, "the name's Duchess now, Duchess Sparkles, and I'm the leader of this succubus stripper gang." Mew?
Oh my god.
Buffcat interjected as he lay on his back playing with the stuffed dub-dub doll.
"Yes, Buffcat," Sid went on. "We dated, and it was the worst 6 hours of my life,"
he said as he spit right into the Duchess's face.
Damn! That's it, yo. That's it.
"We're going to keep you here a lot longer than 6 hours, Rogue. We're going to keep you here for 6 hours plus infinity," cackled the Duchess.
"But I love Ugla," Sid shouted into the heavens.
Just then, a blinding white light filled the entire ding-dang club. Everyone shielded their eyes, and when it subsided, there stood Ugla.
"Get your hands off of him, you sack of chapped pussy lips," she yelled.
Oh, man!
Suddenly, Sid flexed so hard he ripped right through the whips that were binding him. He grabbed his daggers and stood firm near Ugla as the two did the most awesome pose. Ugla drew her enchanted sword named the Menstruator, a sword that cried blood during battle.
Damn!
As Sid drew his daggers, together they killed, like, at least a million succubi. Ugla turned one into a fur beetle, then drew her foot down slowly.
"Strip out of this," she said, then crushed the succubi to death.
Oh, shit!
Sid was all like, "I can't hit a woman," so he parkoured around the room for, like, 45 minutes.
He just was doing parkour.
Just backflipping off the walls and shit.
They're like, "You know what? I can't fight this guy. That's really cool." He's a rogue, you know. So
yeah, he's got edgy. He's got mad edgy. The two-headed goblin DJ started playing some nasty jams. Salt and Peppa's Shoop. I was listening to it when I was writing this story.
I think that's pretty typical of a bachelorette party.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, imagine this is also the bachelorette party.
It's turning into that. I mean,
the menstruator.
Ugla wasn't done. She cornered the Duchess and pointed her sword and her staff at her. Sid finished an awesome parkour move and walked over. Just as he did, Ugla started chanting the magical incantation. "You packed and you stacked, especially in the back. Brother, want to thank your mother for a butt like that." Then she slapped Sid's firmly toned butt cheeks. As she did, the Duchess suddenly grew old before their eyes.
Damn!
Old and ugly as fucking shit, and then started twerking hard. Then she exploded.
I imagine that twerking was not comfortable with saggy 36 double Ds.
It was probably very uncomfortable to watch, too.
It was probably like a lava lamp. That's a Simpsons joke. That's a Simpsons joke.
I wouldn't have known. I didn't know that one. You could have just stolen it. I'd have been like, yeah.
No stealing. No stealing.
"Why don't we just do the ceremony here?" Sid said as he watched the bits of succubus float down from the ceiling. "Flyman, you're officiating."
Flyman and his tiny dick floated over. "Do you take Ugla to be your..." Oh, what's the use? You're probably going to get divorced anyway.
Oh my god. Flyman, no, you've got to stop saying stuff like that.
"Flyman, you still got it."
"I do," Sid replied. "Ugla, do you blah, 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 blah?" "I do. I promised to bone him on the reg," she said. Then they mamboed number 5 into the night. Finn.
Oh, my God, Josh. Ugla and Sid got hitched.
They're hitched.
In this adventure of debauchery.
Yes.
And sin. And close calls.
Close call.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Did Fred wake up and go, I missed everything, and he was all bummed?
He probably was going to black out anyway, so I don't think...
Yeah, he was probably going to be blackout drunk.
Yeah,
before.
I don't think he would have said that. I think his character would be more apt to just be like, oh, it must have been a good time because I don't remember it.
He'd probably be like, oh, hey, all right, let's have a beer about it.
Yeah, yeah. He probably just wakes up and drinks right away. I'm trying to tell you that Fred's an alcoholic.
Oh, Fred. All right, Josh, this tale is called The Trials of Flesh.
Oh my god.
As the sun slowly set on an early autumn day in Orkspire, three gnomes traveled through the edge of a farm east into the dark forest of Forok. Their names were Tootlin, Renkin, and Scrawn, three of the lamest gnomes in all of Orkspire Technical High School. It was widely known that these three went on countless coming-of-age adventures in an attempt to seem cool at school. It never worked, and even made some people hate them more, especially that time they started that band, Pink Slug Beast, and got to perform at the Necroprom, but none of them knew how to play their instruments, so they were cursed with butt breath for an entire month!
Butt breath.
Imagine having to go to school with someone with butt breath. No thanks.
I have butt breath in the morning, so I feel their pain.
We all kind of do. It's a curse.
Yeah.
Anyway, this adventure was far beyond the call of their kin. Come on, hurry up, shouted Renkin back to Scrawn, who had fallen behind. But I'm Scrawn. I'm supposed to be the worst one, yelled Scrawn, who waddled over roots and was definitely the worst one.
You can tell by his name. That's how
you can tell by his name that he is the worst.
His parents knew when they named him. They're like, oh, he's going to be the worst one.
This one stinks. Name it Scrawn. Yeah. The three continued into the forest until they stopped outside of a giant ancient demon skull. The surroundings had grown quiet. Spookily quiet, if I may. All right, check it, said Tootlin, who thought he was the coolest one. We're getting close, so y'all better be ready to do this. Ready as I'll ever be, I guess, said Renkin. Where are we going again? I saw a cloud that looked like a loaded baked potato and forgot, replied Scrawn, who was definitely the worst one. You turd-ass, dork-ass butt, said Tootlin. We're going to get laid. Laid, said the worst one. Oh, no, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I've got gas.
He's definitely the worst one.
Come on, man. You want to be virgins forever, said Renkin. Yeah, dude, countered Tootlin. An alchemist told me that if you don't use it, you lose it. And that means your D falls off if you don't bone. And then he said if my D fell off, to give him a call because he'd be interested in using it in a potion. So yeah, like, we all might be under a lot of pressure of getting laid right now, but I'm not that worried. Because I'll have the financial security of selling my fish bait to an old man.
Fish bait? Oh my god. Man, I haven't heard that. I don't think ever. I don't think I've ever heard that. That's brilliant.
Well, you know, I imagine some gnomes get crafty and they're like, yeah, I'm just going to use my dick as bait now.
Get crafty or get stupid.
Dude, gnomes are known for their
ingenuity.
Their ingenuity, yeah. So.
That's true. That's
I wouldn't put true. It past them.
That's true.
Yeah, so unless you want your peener to pack up its balls and split crotch, then we got to do this. Said Renkin as he cleaned his gnome glasses. Come on, let's go. He finished and the three entered the skull. Batpulse flew throughout the dungeon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of them almost convinced Scrawn to take a bite out of it. But the three pushed forward until the halls began to grow sexily hot. They entered a dimly lit, simple throne room, where, upon the throne, sat a demon in full demon armor made of red and black.
Oh my god.
And a frightening helmet hiding his face. Next to the throne was a mounted sword display, which had three epically awesome swords labeled Lightning Sword, Flame Sword, and So Evil Even I Don't Know What It's Called Sword. The demon sat on his throne quietly reading a Ragic trading card game price guide when out of the corner of his eye he spotted the gnomes. He looked up and shouted,
"Hey, you're not supposed to be in here. Who are you?"
Fear P trickled out of Tootlin's wiener as he answered.
Fear P?
We are the gnomes. What's that?
Fear P?
Dude, you ever get a little fear pee?
I'd be lying if I said I'd never
had
fear pee.
I only wear no fear clothing, so no, that's never happened to me. Thank you. "We are three gnomes on a quest, sir." The demon stood and spoke.
"I am Arudon, demonic demon from Demetown, and this ancient skull is my home. And, oh my god, all three of you have raging bones? What is... Oh, I get it. You guys are looking for the succubus that lives in the skull so you can get some trim for the first time."
That's correct, Arudan, whimpered Tootlin.
"The succubus is my wife," shouted the demon.
The gnomes began to sweat. Scrawn fainted, then farted a long fart like someone was letting air out of a balloon for a really long time. Exactly. "But," continued Arudon,
"we are demonically open to this sort of thing. We think it's cool."
"So you'll let us have sex with your wife?" replied Tootlin. "Hey, you know what," said Rankin, "I just realized that we're all going to have sex with the same demon woman, and I think that's kind of weird and I'm not comfortable with it, especially if gross-ass Scrawn is there." And as Rankin said that, Scrawn let out a long burp that cross-faded into another fart.
Cross-faded.
"Silence!" shouted Arudon. "If you wish to lay with the succubus, a.k.a. my hot-ass, fine-ass, make-your-ding-donger-sing-songers wife, you must complete the trials of manhood."
And as he said that, fire shot out of the ground as banshees flew throughout the cave, screaming like King Diamond, and everyone's pee-pee went inside their bodies for a little bit like a turtle.
This is a very dick-heavy episode.
It is.
Both of us have had dick references and focused on dicks a lot, so...
No fear.
No fear.
"First trial," continued the demon, "is the trial of grip."
"Hey, what are we supposed to do?" said Rankin nervously.
"Hug each other now," commanded the demon.
Scared, the gnomes quickly picked up Scrawn and embraced in a soft group hug.
"Harder than that! Let each other know you care!" shouted Arudan as the gnomes tightened their grip. "Hehehe, good. Second trial! The trial of seduction!" "Whisper lyrics of a love song to each other!" bellowed the demon, and Tootlin started whispering. "Whoop whoop, pull over that ass too fat. Whoop whoop, pull over that ass too fat."
He's just whispering.
"Good. Good. Finally, the trial of sensitivity. Find out each other's favorite spot on their neck where they like to be kissed."
"What?" said Rankin, who was still very cautious of this whole idea. "Come on, man. I don't want my hot dog to fall off," said Rankin as he started to kiss him.
He's kissing him.
"Kiss! Kiss!"
Oh my god.
Shouted the demon while he was swinging his lightning sword around. Scrawn's moldy lips began pressing against Rankin's neck, and they were definitely the worst kisses. Oh. Rankin almost vomed, but after a lot of kissing, the trial was complete. Arudan snickered and lightly applauded. "Well," said Tootlin, "where's your comely wife?" Arudan began to slowly remove his helmet. His long black hair fell down on his shoulders as he revealed his quite beautiful lips, bone structure, and mysterious cyclops eye.
"I am the succubus," shouted Arudan,
man.
Who kicked Tootlin right in the old family rave ruby.
The rave rubies come back.
"He was a she the whole time," said Scrawn, surprised, and he was immediately backhanded all the way out of the ancient demon skull dungeon. A lone stinkline would remain that led out of the dungeon. Rankin was the only one left. He quivered in fear as Arudon towered over him.
"Let me show you something, gnome," said the demon.
She whispered, and in trotted a black, fiery demon unicorn.
Oh my god.
"You think you live some cool-ass life with your gnome house and your bone car?" yelled Auradon. "This is fantasy, you punk-ass bitch!" And with that, the demon unicorn whinnied, and lightning shot out of its nostrils that struck Toodlin, who was still very much unconscious from getting kicked in the nards.
The nards!
"Take your horny-ass friend and leave," shouted the demon. "Let this be a lesson to all of you. Never think a girl will have sex with you just because she is a succubus. Mm-hmm. Now get out, you!" Mm-hmm. And with that, Auradon started doing cool rave stuff with her lightning sword and her flame sword, and she disappeared in a cloud of purple smoke. Rankin picked up the endlessly pained Toodlin and followed the Stinklon out of the dungeon to Scrawn's barely conscious body that laid against a tree. "Did we get laid?" he whimpered. "No," said Rankin. "We just got kicked in the balls and you farted again. Let's go home. I've got bone car maintenance homework."
Bone
the
car.
End.
That was a great story. It's a great coming of age story.
You know, I think maybe these guys show up again next time they need to come of age.
I like how both of our stories were very 80s movie. They're very 80s movie this week, which I'm totally fine with. I love it. It was a great story. I love it.
Thanks, man.
I like the terrible one. The worst Scrawn. One. I like how you just started calling him Scrawn. The worst one. Like, you didn't even have his name at some points. We knew. We all knew.
We all knew.
Everybody knew.
Hello, everybody. This is Reese's the Wise, and...
And this is Old Snickerdoodle, nice. And welcome to another edition of...
Chamber of Knowledge. Gnosis.
Chambers. We are wizards, we can pronounce them however we want, whenever we want. Fast scroll!
We are getting into it early.
I have a date.
I do not want to keep you from that, because you might, get to, like, third and a half base.
I've seen fourth base on an RC ball once, but after that I'm kind of lost. So if you get a call from me on my wizard stone, on your wizard stone,
yes.
I hope you understand.
I will try to help you. I mean,
Maybe I can wear the wizard stone in my ear, and then on the date, you can tell me
what to say. This is brilliant! This has never been done before.
This is how we will trick people into loving us.
Because love equals tricking people.
That's all an illusion. First scroll!
It's from at KyleRobinson36. He asks, worst thing to happen in history... We can say worst is relevant, so it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's okay. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in the history of you, Stigadoo?
Well, I'll say the worst thing that happened for me was when that god tried to enforce a sleeveless robe ban. You know I gotta floss my precious biceps and my Pantera robe. So he was killed with a laser beam spell.
Laser beam spell will kill you instantly.
Do not tell me not to show off the guns.
Welcome to the laser beam show. That's what I always say when you're walking around.
You don't want to go there because when you go, you die from my eyes. The laser shoots out of my eyes. How about you, Reese?
I was thinking about Snickerdoodle, and I would have to say when you lost my magical toenail ring, that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Hey, look, I threw it out. I did not lose it. I know where it went. It went in the trash.
I just can't believe... I mean, it was really magical.
Well, I know, and that's why I had to get rid of it. You think I want to wield that power in this realm?
I thought maybe you could at least try, you know, for me, your old friend Reese's.
And you didn't tell me it was magical. You said it was candy and I had to lick down and eat it all and swallow your gross toenail. That's why I threw it out, you weirdo.
Well, you know, I needed a good laugh. Real magic is laughter. Next scroll.
At Oh That Knew Me asks, what are the greatest exports of your land, assuming there is a trade that happens between the two?
Yes.
How about you, Reese's? What is the greatest export in Derinos?
I would say poetry is a good one, and that tired feeling you get after you're done jizzing. All of that comes from Derinos.
So you've exported that onto us.
Yes.
Well, thank you, because sometimes you can't sleep, and then you jay.
Exactly.
And then you fall right to bed.
That's why we invented it.
That's just a strategy some people take.
Some people take, like, sleeping medicine, or they cast a sleeping spell on themselves. I just jerk off. I just jay off.
J&O is a sleeping spell.
J&O is A-OK.
Well,
in Derinos. I mean, in Orcsbyre.
In Orcsbyre, the greatest export is throwing daggers with tassels on them so they look cool when you throw them. You can even get them in red, white, and blue, a.k.a. the colors that don't run. They fly.
That, my friend, is canon.
Next scroll!
It's from @AdamSavitt. He asks, I'm looking to pimp out my own chamber of knowledge. Any tips on what kind of wizard swag I should procure? Good question.
Well, that is a good question, because you always want to keep it swaggy, as no one says.
Well, not yet.
You know, in Orcsbyre, they sell this longy yellow guy with dreads and a Rasta hat now, and those are cool. But see if you can get one with some wizard weeds leaves on it, you know, so people really know what it means, you know?
People know what you're into when they come to your Chamber of Knowledge, and that is very important. You need them to know what they're getting into when they're in your Knowledge Chamber.
A man who collects stuffed fruit.
Yes. Exactly.
How about in Derinos?
I always go with plenty of magical bones. You can never have too few magical bones. Lots of vials for heads and potions and amputated body parts. And books, because knowledge is power.
You know, we like to joke around here on the Chamber of Knowledge, but that is some real knowledge for you.
Especially books about, you know, slaying your enemies. Those are always good.
Speaking of books...
Yes.
Next scroll! At John Radkiewicz asks, what books are considered classics in Orcsbyre and Derinos?
Yes. Zolban's Guide to Monsters and Great Steakhouses / Brothels, Bonio and Juliet's Nasty Ass Booty, and of course, Super Fudge.
Super Fudge is one of... It changed my life. Let's just say that.
That's a classic anywhere.
In Orcsbyre, some classics are Murder, the Book on Murdering by Jared Bone Ripper, and The Very Spooky Skeleton by A.I. Skeleman.
Those are good. Those are very good books. Can I borrow your Very Spooky Skeleton book?
Yes, but it won't be my fault if you can't sleep.
Well, I'll just J.O. then, and it'll solve that problem.
You can't solve everything by J&O, you know, I say that to you and you just don't believe
me. Has anyone ever tried Snickerdoodle? I'll be the first. I'll let you know how it goes. Next scroll.
It's me. Go on, sir.
Next scroll is Truman Reeves, S. Since it's almost Valentine's Day, which I'm assuming is some type of day where people... do things in your realm. What's the most romantic date two lovers could have in Orcsbyre or Derinos? Snickerdoodle.
Well, I've got two words for you. Pizza blanket.
That's beautiful.
Think about that when you're non-wizard-ass bitch.
That's beautiful, Snickerdoodle.
Yeah. Just name your children old S. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll be responsible for you two lovers for tying the knot and making a baby.
Yes, I mean, there'll be plenty of old S's running around, little ankle biters.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear that. In Derinos, where do I live? In Derinos, grinding your ancestors' bones into your favorite sword or teddy bear. We have shops where you can do that. They're called Bone-a-Bear Workshops. I recommend you go do that with your special someone this Valentine's Day, or as we call it in Derinos, Heart Appreciation Wiener Vagina Day.
That is, I mean, that's what it is, yes. Right? Well, I remember you got me a Boulder Bear last Heart Appreciation Day.
Yes.
And I got to say, it is pretty good. I named him Chauncey.
Chauncey?
And, you know, I really appreciate the thing you did.
Well, you can give it to a friend, too. You don't have to, you know, be romantically involved. But, I mean, it's a good date nonetheless. As a matter of fact, I think we should go to a Boulder Bear workshop after this. And then we should also go do that pizza blanket thing you were talking about.
I think that's wonderful. I'm going to make a Boulder Bear with suspenders.
I want one with a bow tie. Oh, and a mace.
What are we doing here? Turn that thing off. Let's get the hell out.
Go to the workshop. The mall, I think they call them in wherever.
I think it's called. It's actually a dungeon. When you think about it, the mall is just a dungeon with all these rooms, and some are locked, and some smell weird.
A dungeon of consumerism, am I right?
Yes, most certainly a dungeon of consumerism. Some portions of the dungeons have names, like... The wall?
The wall, yes. That sounds like a torture device.
Yes, you know what?
There's also the Deb.
Oh my goodness, the Deb. I've got cargo sweatpants there, and I wore those in middle school.
Unbelievable. Snickerdoodle.
Have you heard a more horrifying tale?
This is terrible.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the knowledge you shall receive. Turn that thing off. Let's get out.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, well, that was more information from those turds.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like each week, like, we kind of just, like, you and I just, like, are more and more ashamed by them. Like, we have to apologize every week.
Well, I mean, I'm into getting a Pantera robe with the sleeves cut
sleeveless,
off.
Sleeveless, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just me. But, hey, before we go, we want to say thanks to Bane McGowan, who drew a great Flyman piece, mm-hmm. Danny Saya and Ryan Jampole for drawing Ursula and Clip Clop from Zane's story last week, who was a special guest. We want to thank Simon Fisher for the boned again skeleton from the swamp, and also The Best, who appeared in the fairy story, and that was by Austin Farrar and Kat Michelle DiOrazio. So thank you guys so much for sending those in. We're always super flattered when we see this kind of stuff. And also, finally, thank you to Mac Peralt, who provided that great new harpsichord theme that is some new transition music. So thank you very much. We'll put a link to his SoundCloud in the show notes as usual if you want to check it out, download it, or just check out his other work, which you should. But thanks, everyone. And also, I just wanted to make a point and say, if you send in fan art, go ahead and send us your blog or mention your blog so we can feature that
right.
when we share it with the art. Because we want to give you your dues because you did a really cool thing and we want people to check out your stuff.
Yeah. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and give us a review of the show on the fantasy fiction page. It could be good or bad. Just give us your opinion.
Hey, we just want the truth from you. But that is a great way to support the show without having to spend a dime. It's very nice of you to take your time out and write a review. So thank you to everyone who has done one and everyone who may do one in the future.
Yes, thank you very much. It really helps the show out a lot, honestly.
All right. And our prompts for next week will be Johnny Sousa with Assassins and Alfie Price with Riddles. Alfie actually said imps and riddles. Yes. We're just going to take riddles.
Riddles is Josh. Awesome.
Feel free to put an imp in there. That goes to anyone who's writing a story.
Just put an imp in anything.
Just put an imp in. And I just wanted to make a quick note. We just ordered shirts. We're going to be shipping shirts ourselves, along with buttons and various other things. So the web store will be up soon, and we'll be able to provide that on all of our social media stuff. And we'll announce it here, I'm sure. So stay tuned. And until next week, Josh, what do we have to say to these fine people?
I would just like to say until next week, keep on wizarding!
Keep on wizarding! And we'll see you next week, guys. Have a good week and enjoy anything you do. Hey, make a point this week to treat yourself to something. Just one thing.
Yeah. Anything. Could be anything. Ice cream.
Could Could be ice cream, a slice of pie,
yeah.
or that DVD you've been looking at.
Right.
Live free or die hard.